My name is Mohammed. I'm 34 years old. I live in the Highlands area. Studied computer programming. Took up arms to defend my neighborhood and my country. Basically, we're just running, you know, guarding the neighborhood and keeping things stable.
Can you tell me a little bit more about when you took up arms?
I took up arms 3 days ago. There was a possible attack by Gaddafi forces on the people. Everybody wanted to defend themselves. Everybody's armed. The entire people, kids, I mean, ages 11, 12, have received arms, weapons, AK-47s, different kinds of weapons, just to defend themselves and their families. Now, it's basically where we're happy, where, you know, everybody's running around freely. And things will eventually quiet down. Possibly we might even, in the next few days, hand over our weapons to the proper authorities.
So that brings me to my next question, which is there are a lot of weapons now circulating in Tripoli. They're not obviously accounted for. And you mentioned that clearly they're, some of them are pretty intense weapons. They're handed to a lot of people. Are you concerned about what happens now that you have all these weapons floating around?
Yes, I am. We are pretty concerned. I mean, everybody's talking about it. Everybody's talking about different kind of weapons being, you know, in the wrong hands of kids or people that want to take up revenge or, you know, it's just been chaotic in the past day or two. People are, they were afraid that there could be a sneak attack by Gaddafi forces. So they stormed a compound that had stockpiles of weapons. I mean, it lasted at least 3 days, 2 days maximum, until the stockpile had completely run out. There was RPGs, there were hand grenades, heavy machine guns, HMGs, AK-47s, pistols, you name it. The government has different locations where they stack up their weaponry. People around in the neighborhood, or in parts of the neighborhoods that the government used to stack up the weapons, they knew about. When they found out that there wasn't no people guarding it, no Gaddafi forces guarding these weapons, they stormed. They stormed it by force. They took up arms, and everybody's just starting to guard their own families, the neighborhoods. It's kind of scary when you come and think about that. People, they could. Start revenge attacks or, like I said again, falling into a group of fanatics or something.
That brings me to my question, which is, have you seen examples of revenge attacks, people using these weapons in ways that you think are unsafe?
Let me be honest with you. I haven't seen, but, the feeling is there. Just think about it and start thinking about it. What's going to happen in the next 48 hours? Are the people, satisfied enough that they're safe, they're secure, basically they will just say, okay, now, we're safe, we feel happy, and here's the weaponry back. But until now, hopefully, the transitional government here in Tripoli, once they move from Benghazi to Tripoli, I hope they would announce that. They would announce to the people to lay down their arms or to hand them over to the proper authorities. This will give confidence to the people that, hey, look, Tripoli is completely out of the control of Gaddafi forces, and we are here to protect you. We're not here to, we're here to bring peace and stability. And now it's time for the people to lay down their arms.
You mentioned when we were talking earlier about the fact that there are some holdouts, some armed holdouts in your neighborhood and in other areas. People who you said were holed up in their houses and were not leaving. Can you give me some sense on that?
These past government officials. I mean, I'll probably say people that were followers of the Luciano Tavoglia that had blood on their hands from the past, that killed people and abused the system, against the people. They were known around in certain areas, and not only in Highlandless, Bunawas, Medina Kadima, all around Tripoli. These people know that actually if they walk into the streets, the people, if somebody sees them, recognizes them, they would kill them. That's what they're thinking now. I've seen cases where they were actually talking to a group held up, of four or five, and they were talking to them. Lay down your arms. We're not going to hurt you. We're going to hand you over to the proper authorities, and they just can't get it to their heads that, they're not going to be harmed. So they return fire.
Right.
Heavy fire. We even had cases of hand grenades falling on people in the streets. So it was kind of, we're not gonna go to you guys. We're not gonna hand ourselves over to you because you guys are gonna kill us. Basically, I don't blame them because if they did kill people in the past, abuse people, or I don't blame them for being afraid that they might be killed.
Outside, we hear lots of reports of holdouts, small groups of loyalists. And the way that that can seem is that you have groups that are actively engaged in resistance. What I'm hearing from you is that it's not always the case that groups are resisting. It's sometimes the case that you have people who are afraid for their own skins and who refuse to surrender, different than engaged in resistance operations.
There are cases where there are pockets of resistance. They would resist in the first hour of fighting. Fierce battles and take out, would be held out. And then after that, they would come to the centers and lay down their arms and actually step out the house and surrender. And they've been treated very well. They've been even hugged. They've been hugged by the people themselves. I mean, these people are known. And things would go smoothly.
Yeah.
But on other similar cases, it would just backfire, and they would just go completely wild.
How would you describe the security situation in the streets in your neighborhood right now? Are people walking outside? What would I see if I were to walk out your door right now?
I'm telling you right now, I'm standing in my neighborhood, and I'm looking at I'm seeing movements of about maybe 30 people walking back and forth, going to the mosque, praying. People sitting on their sidewalks, standing in corners, guarding. I mean, they're just happy, talking, full of laughter. But at the same time, don't forget that they are cautious of any movement, of any foreign face that enters their neighborhood.
When you're talking about these people who are afraid to leave their homes, maybe you could give me a specific example. So what's being done with those people? Are they remaining in their homes? What's happening?
No, actually, people that have been, they don't have one home or two homes. They have, these guys, these officials, they have like three, four homes in different areas. And each home, you would find stockpiles of weapons. I mean, I'm talking about RPGs, tons of AK-47s, pistols, money, you name it. And the only problem is that these people, or these officials, past officials, have killed, have harmed, and they know deep down inside themselves that if they surrender, it's either, port, death sentence, or prison.
Are the houses being guarded? Are people making active attempts to try to enter? Are the neighbors trying to enter these areas?
Yeah, neighbors are guarding their houses. They don't want normal people taking up arms and attacking these houses. They want they want to know if military transitional government here in Tripoli have them as wanted. There's a lot of people that are talking about wanting to have a direct number to call and to give info of possible locations of wanted men. It'll be a good step. It'll be a next good step.
So we have people thinking forward about security, and from what I hear you saying, people sort of saying, look, we don't really want to confront these people who may be our neighbors in an armed way.
Yeah.
We want the rule of law. But they're also saying right now they don't have access to a mechanism that they can really easily use to get that to happen.
Yeah, the mechanism, you're correct. The mechanism is not there. These houses have caches of weapons, stockpiles, AK-47s, sometimes hand grenades, rocket-propelled grenades. We don't want this weapon. We'd rather look at the weapons going to the hands of proper authorities than to the people themselves.
So both these people and their stockpile of weapons need to be secured rapidly.
Yes, exactly. A stability and security and a mechanism for people to contact, to give information. We need this ASAP. You know, everybody's just sitting down, waiting until proper authorities to come. But you know, until now, them themselves, I don't you know, blame, because they don't know these locations. Only the people know. So the people, the Libyans, you know, the neighborhoods, they don't know who to turn to, who to call, who to notify of possible places to show there's a force of stability and security for the people. So they would be calmer once, you know, once the transitional government announces, please lay down your arms or hand over your arms, they would actually go ahead and do that. And if that doesn't work, a weapon for money. You hand your weapon in, we give you $100 or, you know, something like that. There's a lot of kids, I mean, they would rather see money in their hands instead of a weapon.
We have to hope so.